David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ, that's Congressional Quarterly, since 1995. He really is absolutely the smartest guy about this stuff, about Congress, that I know. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the editor of Roll Call. That I can tell you right now. Okay, so welcome, David.
Thank you, sir.
Now, talk to me about DACA and how Congress plays into this whole thing.
Well, I think that my take on it as somebody who watches Congress is that the president has actually done Congress a huge favor by ceding some of executive authority and giving it back to Congress and saying, here, you figure this out. And I think that there's a chance that they can figure it out. I think that if it is just simply legislative, it becomes so. What the president has done is he said, "You can have 6 months, Congress, to come up with your own legislation on these undocumented people, kids who came into the country in an undocumented way. Some 800,000 of them. You can have 6 months to figure out what to do with their immigration status. If not, I'll decide on my own." If it is simply a legislation that codifies what President Obama did a couple of years ago, and if it is actually put to the Congress that way, I think there's very little doubt but that Congress would pass a bill to allow these people to stay without fear of deportation and get work permits. The question, of course, is will it be that simple? Probably not. Congress will probably – there will be inevitable game playing in which – the president's fans will try and combine this with huge amounts of money for border protection, probably money for the wall as well. Others on the other side of the debate will want to use the DACA legislation as a vehicle for a more comprehensive immigration bill that would provide a path to citizenship, and then it would threaten to get, you know, in a heck of a mess. But if it's a straightforward DACA bill to extend the program that Obama put in place on his own authority 2 years ago, it would pass.
So there is the famous Freedom Caucus. Maybe you could tell us what role they'll play in this.
Well, the famous Freedom Caucus, which is they have more power than their actual numbers would suggest. There are about 240 members, Republican members of the House. 40-some of them, I think it's 42 of them, are members of the so-called Freedom Caucus. They are the most confrontational conservatives among a relatively confrontationally conservative House Republican majority. They don't like this idea. They don't like, they would want a more emphatic response to this, probably to do with the border wall. But in general, I mean, and I'm not exactly sure whether the Freedom Caucus is even unified on this one, but in general, for the last 7 years that the House has been in Republican hands under both Paul Ryan and before him John Boehner, the Republican leadership tended to try to pass bills with almost all the tended to write bills and move them through the House only if they could command almost all the Republican votes, which included the Freedom Caucus, because their preference was to pass bills with entirely Republican votes and not rely on Democrats at all. In this case, in the case of DACA, what I described a few minutes ago of a plain extension of the Obama DACA program becoming law, that would happen. That would command virtually all Democratic votes and a decent number of Republican votes, but probably not more than half of them.
There is a cry now, David Hawkins, for bipartisanship. You know, after the debacle of the health care thing, there are a substantial number of people who want to say, okay, why can't you guys just do it together? Now, you've just sort of hit on that. You've said we have the Democrats, we have most of the Republicans, and we have a Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mr. Ryan, who most of us think really still harbors the idea that he could be President of the United States in his mind and doesn't want to mess up. How does that all play together?
Well, I think you're right. I think Paul Ryan is still a very young man, and he certainly does have presidential aspirations down the road. I think you're right to put a question. I think I heard in your question that you were putting a question mark over whether that's still a viable aspiration of his. I would say it probably is, because 4 or 8 years is a lifetime in politics, and who knows where he'll be. And maybe he'll go do something else before he wants to be president. Anyway, how that all works is that one of the reasons that the Congress has become so polarized and partisan is, as I think I said a minute ago, is that Republicans have decided that they would rather move only legislation
Yep.
that can pass with exclusively Republican votes. That's just been there because and part of that has to do with gerrymandering, and it has to do with the way congressional districts are drawn, and that's a whole fascinating discussion in and of itself, in that congressional districts have been drawn now so precisely that there are really very few purple districts. They're almost all solid red and solid blue, and the Republicans who represent these solid red districts are mostly worried not about losing a general election, because they essentially can't lose to a Democrat. They're worried about having to spend a bunch of money and energy on a primary fight against somebody who is even more to their right and thinks they're impure, conservatively Yep. impure, if they deal with the Democrats.
Right. To get back to where we started from, DACA, the president then goes and pulls the rug out from under them, says, I'm giving you 6 months because it should be congressionally handled. And if you don't do it in 6 months, then I'll have to take over again. What was that all about?
I don't know. I don't know. And by the time this conversation is heard by people, he might have changed this. He might tweet out something else yet again. It did seem like he was sort of pulling the rug out from under his own threat, or that's a mixed metaphor. But Congress does best when there's a deadline. He seemed to have given them this deadline, and then he sort of took the deadline away with some other language that was not in that exact tweet that you just read, that suggested that he would allow this DACA program to continue if Congress doesn't act. He's been on both sides of this issue rhetorically in recent weeks, but his most recent statements seem to suggest, I love kids, I love grandkids, I have some kids, I have some grandkids, I want these kids to be taken care of. He is saying things that in isolation sound like he would just as soon, if he wasn't pressured by his own campaign rhetoric and his own base, his heart or his mind would be to let these people stay.
Is there resolution? We have only a minute, but is there resolution on the horizon?
I think that there could be resolution on the horizon. I think that and I'm betting we're going to talk about this in our next time we're together.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a multi-headed hydra of legislation that's got to move through Congress before the end of the year. In theory, this DACA decision doesn't have to happen until the end of the winter. But I think there's lots of scenarios under which this comes to a head before the end of calendar 2017.
David Hawkins is one bright guy. He's the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ, Congressional Quarterly, since 1995. David Hawkins, what a joy to have you on with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.